two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Oh, we're going to get outside, all right. We're going to go way outside, like to the Greek islands.
No, this is Croatia. Didn't he say he's in Split?
He's in Split, but the bicycle ride's been through Greece. Am I right or wrong about that? Jeff Anderson joins us. Jefe.
Hey, no, it's been clear through Croatia, the islands outside of Croatia. We've been doing a bike and boat tour and just having a ball.
Oh, all right. All this time I thought you were touring the islands of Greece, but, you know, not a bad place to be. You said you're in Split today, right?
We are. Today we had a little break, and we went on a river rafting trip and had a great time. But we've been riding bicycles over different islands for the last 4 days. We started near Split in a small port called Trogir, and we traveled over to Starigrad, and that's where we had our first ride. They tested us. It was 10% grade for about 7-8 miles.
Yikes.
Then about a mile across the island, and then another 10% straight down.
Yay. Oh, well, that'll be the fun part. That's the payoff. Navi, you guys hung out last. Was it last year you made the motorcycle?
No, this was.
I keep saying motorcycle ride. It's a bicycle ride.
We were in Split together. Remember, F.A., we were in that town before together.
Yes, we were in Split 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago we did the France to London ride.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
And then this time we're doing a Islands of Dalmatia tour, which are all part of Croatia. And they're good because e-bikes are like Colt revolvers. They made the West equal, but now bicyclists are equal with the e-bike.
All right, so you're riding the e-bikes this time. Here's the great thing about this trip, too. I mentioned it earlier that you've got your granddaughter with you, which is fantastic.
We do. She's the youngest one in the tour. Her name's Winter, and I'm going to have her tell you what she liked the best about it.
All right. We'll get a little winter in the middle of the summer here. I like this. Winter, tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 12 years old.
12 years old. Now, Grandpa just told us that part of the ride has been tough, like 10 miles uphill. How have you handled it?
Ooh, it was pretty tough at first, but it got better.
It got better. So what's been your favorite part of this ride?
Ooh, I don't know. It's really, tough, really cool, yeah.
The whole thing has been cool.
Yeah.
All right, Winter, thanks. I'm glad you're having a good time.
So, we've lost our German friends. There's 6 Germans, and the rest are, and Don and I in Winter, and there are a bunch of friends that have been planning this for a long time. And I want to introduce you to Julie and her friends, and she'll tell you how she found this ride.
All right.
Hi there.
Hi, Julie. Tell everybody where you're from.
So I live in Reno, Nevada, and I was here in Split a few years ago, and I was on a sailboat, and I saw these boats dock at the same island we were docking at, loading and offloading bikes, and I said, I've got to do that next. So here I am.
Yeah, and so you started searching out, I guess, companies that actually provide everything you need, huh?
Exactly. Well, I made a note of the boat, and I someone came in and hooked up, and then, of course, you know, COVID, so we were waiting for that to be resolved. And Croatia's been open for a while now, so we were fortunate enough to be able to come over and enjoy the vacation.
Oh, that's great. And so how close to the end of this experience are you at this point?
Sadly, we have two more days here.
Yeah. I made the trip over, I don't know how many years ago it's been, to Zagreb, and everybody kept telling me if you can squeeze a couple of extra days, you need to get over to the coast and go see Split. It is one of the most beautiful places I think I've seen, at least in pictures.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for sharing part of your experience with us. Hand that phone back over to Jeff there for a second.
Hey, big guy. We got ours through TripSite, like we did on our last tour.
Right.
You know, they partner with Hero Libro, and this one happens to be with a company called Island Hopper. And it's been a great fun because the captain built his first boat. His family spent 3 years on living up. They lived on one of these islands and built the giant ship in their neighbor's garden. And now they have four ships, and two of them are leased to Island Hopper. And the original wooden one, Island Hopper bought from them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Some of these stories, Navidomskis, that you hear along the way, that's the whole reason for doing this, isn't it?
Absolutely. You don't really know what you're getting into, and you find out it's the people you're with that's half the fun.
Yeah. So how many days on the bike now, Jeff?
I think we've done three. Oh, five. They're saying five. We did three, I thought, but I guess it's going by too fast for me. Our biggest ride was about 60 kilometers, about 40 miles, and it had a 3,500-foot elevation climb during it, you know, off and on. But we got to spend, we went about 20 miles and swam in the ocean and went 20 more miles and had a lovely dinner with some, you know, and then it made it easy for the laugh. And my granddaughter was out running her fluffy grandpa like crazy.
All right, so you ride during the day. How do you get from island to island? Do they have boats waiting for you?
Well, it's one ship. It's called the Melody, and it holds around 30 passengers and probably about 8 crew. And they just take us from one spot, and some of the times we ride back, but most of the time they drop us off or we stay on one side of the island. We get up at 9 in the morning. We go over the island to another nice, beautiful city, and then they pick us up and take us for a swim and lunch, and we start all over again the next day.
Yeah. How big a part of this experience is the food?
It's huge. You know, I don't care how far you bicycle, the drink and the food is going to keep you nice and large.
No chance to lose weight on this one, huh?
No. Hey, while I've got you here, we've got a guy named Dan that took the first two trips without an e-bike. He was the only one that did it like that. We call him Dan the Man because he is so tough.
Yeah. Well.
So let me pass you to Dan so he can tell you how those first few trips were.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to him because I'm still an old school guy. I don't have an e-bike. I still pedal mine, but I guess with an e-bike, Navi, you can still pedal if you want, right?
You know, I've never been on it. I just ride my regular bike, but F.A. and his wife, Donna, ride them. And we bought a couple of them. I just haven't got on them.
Yeah. All right, Dan, the man, how big of a chore was this without an e-bike?
pretty tough. Like, you do the e-bike, don't look back.
So you're saying
life will never be the same.
You're saying even if you feel tough and comfortable on a bike, get the e-bike.
Just go with the e-bike from the start and be done with it and enjoy the scenery.
Yeah. So I guess you're a bike rider at home probably then, right?
Typically they have a motor on them, but, you know, I had to go old school on this one.
Well, I'm glad you're surviving, and thanks for keeping Jeff and Donna company on this one. Great to hear from you. Let Jeff know we're going to wrap up our conversation here. We've only got about a minute left if you want to hand that back to him.
All right.
It's been fantastic getting to talk to some of the people on the tour with you, and it sounds like you're having a fantastic time.
Remember islandhopper.com.
Islandhopping.com.
Islandhopping.com. All right.
That's correct.
All right. Be careful. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
All right. Everybody get their COVID shot so we can all travel.
There you go. Good reminder for everybody as we let him go here. Anyway, that's fantastic. And I so enjoyed hearing, Navi, you and Jeff's experience when you made that ride from Paris to London. That was also a treat.
I mean, one of the best trips we've ever made. Like, I could go to Europe every summer, but on a bike, it's super special. Like he says, the food is special, and the people you get to know is special, and you really not just see the scenery on a bike, you smell it.
Yeah, that's what we love about motorcycle rides, and we're headed to Europe in a couple of weeks to go do that with a motor, so we don't have to pedal those things up and over the peaks and passes of Europe. We're going to take another break when we come back. Navi's sticking around. We're going to do fish bites for you right around the corner. Don't go away.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, la, la. Get stupid and women roll their eyes. And Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry.
Time for some fish bites here. And before I turn it over to Navidomskis for whatever he wanted to talk about today, I don't know, his float trip down the Weber. Of course, that was in swimsuit with no fishing rod in hand. We don't want to hear any more about that. But I do want to throw in here, Navi, that there's a Kokanee Salmon Seminar I thought people might be interested in. It's scheduled for Tuesday, so it might be tough for some people to get to. It's Tuesday, August 3rd, 6:30 Mountain Daylight Time to 8 o'clock Mountain Daylight Time. So a 90-minute get-together at the Hailstone Event Center at Jordan-Hale State Park. This Kokanee fishing thing has really gotten popular. And
yeah, I mean, it's a resource that people are just learning about. We put those guys in, Ankur Heinches Nurka, that's a sockeye, and they do their thing, and they're very predictable, and they're delicious, and there's no mercury, so have at it. They definitely consume their forage in a different water column, so once you learn about that and learn what they like, there's no reason why you shouldn't catch lots of cokes.
Yeah, and if you want to learn about it, you can check it out. The Kokanee Salmon Seminar, again, Tuesday, August 3rd, starts at 6:30 up at Jordan-Hale State Park. My buddy Jason Sims posted some pictures on his Facebook a couple of days ago. They were up at Strawberry, and they caught some nice ones. I mean, 20, 21 inches. As you have told us before, they don't have the same mercury problems that some of the other fish do. So, and they are tasty. Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're tasty. And like I said, they're exactly the same size because they're exactly the same age. They only live 4 years.
Yeah.
All right, but I got a lot to talk about, Tim.
Okay, get on it.
Okay, so most of what I'm going to talk about has temperature-related issues. I'm trying to find a positive in this drought era. And so let me talk two things. First, I'm going to get to it second, but I'm going to tell you that the high mountain lakes are fishing great. In fact, it appears there's no impact. The drought has had no impact on those lakes that are up near 7,000 and above. The Uintas are fishing phenomenally well. Everybody who wants to fish should have no problem. Just get to the altitude lakes. But let me talk about the lower rivers. I'm talking the Provo, the Weber, the Logan, those typical fly fishing streams. There's always a good hatch in the summer, and that's what's fun. But the temperatures are incredibly high. And, yeah, lukewarm. But here's what you need to know. These fish still have to eat. And how they survive the summer, I don't know, with these temps. But they do. And it just means you have to get up early, early. So in a 24-hour cycle, they're going to eat all the calories they would normally eat in a 24-hour cycle annually. It's not that they eat less in the summer. They just do it all before sunup. So if you're ambitious like I used to be as a young man, and nowadays I don't really think about it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get my shoes tied before noon. But, yeah, you get up early, and you get up on the river, and you start fishing before light. And then for the next hour and a half, it's going to be gangbusters. So let's say you're headed to the Weber or whatever. Just get up early, early. All those fish are still there. All of them have to eat, and they choose to do this at the coolest opportunity they have. And that is the coolest time of the 24-hour cycle. So I know I said, well, have you done it recently? No, I'm old. But let me tell you, it is awesome. Now, my boys will go up in the middle of the night with their headlamps and throw mice. That's a fun thing to do. But really, the better fishing is earlier, like get there at 4:30, start fishing at 5, and fish until 7:30. So you're going to catch all the fish you normally can catch. I remember once when I used to do this, 15 casts, 15 fish. It's that serious. So if you're ambitious and you want to go fishing, the fish are still there. The drought is not a good thing. I don't know the impact. We got a dry fly class coming up, and the river that we like to fish is at half flow, which is sad because we usually like to float it. So maybe we'll just be waiting it, but I'm going to keep my ear to the ground. And by the way, I'll plug that. It's always sold out. Last year I had 32 on the wait list. This year I still have spots open. I have 5 spots for my dry fly class. Give me a call. Send me an email, wildtrouts@AOL.com. But anyway, the terrestrials are really good. They're a little early this year. So you could throw the beetles, the ants, the hoppers are all out thick. You'd think it's August out there, but it's just July.
Yeah.
And back to the mountains. Get up there with a clear bubble. Halfway, all the way, completely empty. You're going to catch them in all 3 zones of those lakes, just like normal.
Navidomskis, of course, always goes all the way, never halfway. He only has one speed, and it's too much. He'll tell you that. This video, by the way, we aired last week.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I guess footing issues. Oh, my gosh. That's a nice fish.
It's gone viral, and the boys I noticed on their social media are encouraging people to like it so that he can have his own YouTube channel, maybe someday.
they exploit their dad.
That's so funny. Anyway, people have enjoyed that. We need to break. We'll check ABC News at the top of the hour, and then on the other side, we'll talk bats, so stay right there.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.